Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope I didn't wake you up.
No.
Good song leading like that.
Amen.
Texts coming from Luke chapter 6, the last four verses. Luke's starting in verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and couldn't shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And great was the ruin of that house. This is probably one of Jesus' better known parables. Now, those outside of religion or the Bible or the church probably don't know it as well, but we know it because there's a children's song that is made up of this parable. I imagine most of us know the wise man who built his house on the rock. And of course, then there's that great clash, and we get to crash and we get to clap our hands. We do know this parable, but in this parable there's a verse that I want to pull out here in just a minute or two that tells us an awful lot about God's great love. God's love is a great thing. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's love for us is beautiful. I want to share with you a story, and it's kind of like the story of the prodigal son. But it's not that story. This one was told to me as true. It happened in the late 1800s in our country. There was a man who was raising his children, and he had a boy who was terribly rebellious. You know, he just didn't get along with anybody in the family. And as much as they cared for him, he returned their love and their care with something less than what they'd given him. Finally, he gave up on it, and he decided to leave. He moved out west. They didn't know exactly where, but every once in a while, the father would get a message from someone who'd seen his son, and he knew he'd settled out in California somewhere. Eventually, a friend of his was going on a business trip out to California, and he said, "Look and see if you happen to see my son." Fella that was in California sent back a telegram and said, "I have seen your son. He's here in this city where I am." The father immediately sent a telegram back to this guy and said, "If you see my son again, tell him that his father still loves him." The son really appreciated that. And matter of fact, was just about on his last legs, financially, emotionally, and mentally. And he turned around and he went back to his father and to his family, and they were reunited. You know, that's the word that we're supposed to carry out to a lost and dying world. All those people out there in the world need to hear that statement. Your father still loves you. But you know, as great as God's love is, we can limit his love. We have to accept it. You know, this is in our text here that I've already read. You know, once we understand His love, it ought to cause us to want to do something. It ought to motivate us to love Him back. It ought to motivate us to action. Now, some people say that they love God while they're still in a rebellious state against Him. But even Shakespeare wrote about this. "They do not love who do not show their love." Now, here in this passage that I just read, Jesus is about finished with His Sermon on the Plain, which is very similar to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 verse through chapter 7. And He's making a final application of the truth. If you're willing to follow Me, then you've got to be willing to give up that old way that you've been living in. And of course, He was speaking to Jews, the Mosaic Law. And you've got to start following the new way that I'm teaching about. You know, we as followers of Christ, we ought to be willing to give up our old way, which of course is not the Mosaic law, but our old lives of sin and shame. And we ought to be willing to follow that new way that Jesus teaches us in the New Testament. Now, just before Jesus got to this parable, and I've already read this, he asked the people a question. And this question kind of piqued their attention, so to speak. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Now, like I say, this kind of got their attention, and they were willing to listen to this parable that he closed this great sermon with. We all know the story, but let me kind of summarize it. It's a picture of two houses before a storm struck it. Now, these houses were very similar in the way that they were built. You know, they were both built almost exactly the same way, at least as far as we know. But there was one tragic difference. One was built on a good foundation. Apparently, the builder had dug down, had found bedrock, and there he'd built a foundation and the house on top of it. The other house was just built on the surface of the ground. Okay? And then the telling point comes when that storm ends up striking that house, and one of them stands and the other one doesn't stand. Now, the difference wasn't so much the house. It wasn't so much even the construction method. The difference was in the attitude of the builders. The one builder was willing to go to the extra time and the extra expense of digging down and finding a good foundation. Whereas the other guy, all he wanted to do was to build a house and sell it and get out of the market, so to speak. It's the same way with us as Christians. We need to have a strong foundation for our faith. And that faith needs to be founded on Jesus Christ and His Father God. You know, there are other people out there. They might look good on the outside, but when those storms of life strike them, they don't have that foundation, and they're left wanting and gasping as the problems wash over them. Now, like I said, I want to take one verse out of this and look at a very important part about God's love for us and why we ought to be motivated to follow Him. In verse 47... Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like." There are three words in this passage. It's just one verse, but I want to pull them out and look at them. That first word is come. Now think about that word for just a second. Long time ago, somebody wrote the book Uncle Tom's Cabin. This is back prior to the war between the states. And there was an old slave. He'd been out toiling in the fields. Of course, he was beaten down physically, emotionally, mentally. And he heard somebody quote the words, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And this old slave said, "Those are great words, but who says them?" He didn't know Jesus. You know, we know the one who says those words. And when we hear words like that and know that it's Jesus that said those words, it ought to motivate us to go to Him. Over and over again in the Scripture, we're told that Jesus utters the words, "Come." In Revelation 22:17, He tells all to come and to come to an understanding of righteousness so that they can inherit the great blessings promised. You know, that word all by itself, come, gives us a great deal of comfort. You know, if we go to Jesus, if we're able to come to Him, then we can find relief. You know, we're here in this world of sin and sorrow, but we know that if we come to Jesus, we can have some relief. We also need to understand that this statement here in this passage is not limited to a certain group of people. You know, it's offered to everyone who will come. Nobody is denied. Paul wrote to Titus in Titus 2:11, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." This invitation is given to everybody. You know, it's available to those of us who don't think that we're really bad sinners. And it's offered to those who are what we might call horrible and terrible sinners. But we've got to remember that God doesn't categorize sin. And even the slightest little white lie that we tell helped to nail Jesus to that cross. If we come to Jesus, we'll have that warm welcome. The second word is the word here. Our love for God isn't demonstrated simply by coming to Jesus. We've got to pay attention. We've got to hear. We've got to listen. How do we listen to God's Word? It's important for us to pay attention to what that Word says and to take it into our lives and into our hearts. Jesus points out in this parable it's important for us to listen to His sayings, what He teaches, to the Gospel. We also need to pay attention to the books that come after the Gospels, the entirety of the New Testament. You know, those who truly love Christ are willing to hear what the Bible teaches, to hear what the Bible teaches. This is exactly what happened in Acts 2:37. You know, that on that day, Peter and the rest stood up before all those folks that were assembled for the feast day of Passover, Pentecost, in Jerusalem. Peter and the others preached a great sermon, and those who were there were pricked in their hearts. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" If you hear what the New Testament teaches you, then you're going to be pricked in your hearts. Your conscience is going to alert you, well, this is what the Bible says. I haven't been living that way. I've got to do something about it. The third word is act. And this is where the rubber meets the road. This is the ultimate test of Christianity. It's not enough just to come. It's not enough just to hear. It's, are we willing to act on what we've learned? Are we willing to do what the Bible tells us to do? I heard a story about a couple of fellas. They're sitting on the front porch. All of a sudden, one of the fellas, he tore loose with a little bit of cussing. Bad words. And the other fella got on to him for his bad language. And he said, the second fella that had been cussing, he said, "Now listen, Tom." He said, "I cuss a little bit, you talk a little bit of religion, but we know that neither one of us really means it." Well, does that illustrate us? Do we just talk a little bit of religion, but it doesn't really mean much to us? That's illustrative of the fella who built that second house. It looked good on the outside, but it certainly didn't stand up to the storm when it came around. You know, we need to make sure we're not just hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. You know, this is what Jesus is talking about when in verse 46, He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" You know, there are a lot of folks out there that say that they're Christians. They look real good on the outside. They come to church on a regular basis. They drop money in the collection plate. They take the Lord's Supper. But when bad things come along and rock their foundations because they're not founded on Jesus Christ, they come crashing down. In simple terms, we not only need to talk the talk, but we need to walk the walk. In Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23, Jesus is talking about the judgment. And He said the fatal sin of those who are going to end up being condemned are that they didn't do anything. The second chapter, the latter part of the second chapter of James, is about exactly the same thing. It's not enough just to say it. You've got to do it. Paul wrote in Philippians 2:12, "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." It's not enough just to come and just to hear. God expects His people to be people of action. You know, Jesus couldn't be any clearer in this passage. We as Christians, we need to be people who are willing to roll up our sleeves and get our hands dirty. Jesus talks about the importance of obedience in this parable. Now at the tail end of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus also uses this parable. It's in a little bit different context, a little bit information, but it's a tail end of three parables in which Jesus stresses obedience. In those three, he talks about two different ways, two different types of fruit, and then he said there are two ways to build. The question is, are we going to be profitable to the one who was willing to allow his son to die on the cross for our sins? He loved us that much. Are we willing to commit ourselves to being involved in the lives of others and doing the right thing for the one who was willing to go to the cross, not utter a word of pain, and die on that cross for our sins? You know, if we're like the sort of people that were there on the day of Pentecost, if we're pricked in our hearts and you realize maybe that you've been hearing, you've been coming, but you hadn't been doing, then maybe now is the time for you to commit yourself to doing more than what you have been doing. Or if you're not a child of God, then that love that Jesus demonstrated on the cross for your sins by dying, it doesn't avail you anything. You have to put Him on in the waters of baptism. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?